Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. A Montgomery County man is facing sex trafficking charges in Florida. Miami-Dade State Attorney Catherine Rundle says rapper 31-year-old Monrico Clements, also known as King Swoos, met a 23-year-old woman on the dating site Tinder last fall. After dating for several weeks, he's accused of taking her to South Florida and selling her sexual services for cash, which he kept. He was arrested in Maryland and faced a Florida judge last month. As incredible as this story may seem, it's just one of many being played out across the country and in your community. January is National Modern Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month, and we're examining this difficult but important topic tonight. My guests are Dr. Tanya Stafford Manning, advocate, survivor, and rescuer of human trafficking survivors, and Tina Front, founder and executive director of Courtney's House. If you have a comment, if you have a question about this really important issue, give us a call right now at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Manning, Ms. Front, thank you both for joining this conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Ms. Front, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Let me start with some foundational stuff here, Dr. Manning. What is the difference between modern slavery and human trafficking? Aren't these kind of two sides of the same coin?
It is the same coin. So there's really no difference. It's just the names that's different. It's still the same. Human trafficking is a form of slavery. It's forced fraud or coercion. So it's nothing that has changed. It's just like back in the slavery days when they were selling people. It's just happening in another way. It's just a different form of vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. Why is this kind of thing still happening?
Because of the supply and demand. So you have the supply of people that want to buy people for their own fetishes or their own desires and different things like that. And also because of the vulnerability of certain communities, why it keeps happening. So it's supply and demand and then the vulnerability of communities and people.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Front, from your area of expertise, is modern slavery, does it always have to involve a sexual component?
So, you know, there are different types of modern day slavery, mm-hmm. right? There's domestic servitude. There's labor trafficking, and U.S. citizens can also be labor trafficked as well. There's sex trafficking. And so as a survivor of child sex trafficking, you know, that's why I started Courtney's House. So we specifically work on sex trafficking. So not at risk, not maybe, but mm-hmm. sex trafficking. So yes.
Who are the people who are most vulnerable to these kinds of crimes, Dr. Manning?
I would say some of the lower income communities. It really doesn't know any race, socioeconomic. Everybody can become a victim. Let's put it like that. So there's everybody. Everybody is susceptible to trafficking. So it doesn't know any boundaries. And it happens to a lot of people that are unsuspecting, children, adults, vulnerable adults, also women, men, so everybody.
Ms. Front, one of the things that came out of the charges against Monrico Clements is that he is also accused of drugging his alleged victim and keeping her drugged and taking her away from home where she had no financial resources. And according to the prosecutor, her escape was literally dramatic, where she jumped out of a moving car to escape and eventually was able to find her way home. Prosecutors also say that her mother called Maryland State Police, and that is how the Human Trafficking Task Force in Florida was able to make an arrest in Maryland and then have him before a judge in Florida. Does any of that surprise you? What kind of stories do the women that you have come in contact with at Courtney's house tell you?
So first I want to say, no, of course not. That doesn't surprise me. But I want to get away. We keep saying human trafficking, anti trafficking. That doesn't really pertain to the street word. So what we're saying are government words, and I think that confuses people because when they see it on the street, they don't think that's what it is. So let's say the other words that people may say, in the life, getting the lick, getting money, meeting people on Instagram, guys sending money to young girls. So my age, we're also contracted by foster care. The only ones in the country with the type of foster care that we do. So we do. Most of my youth are between the ages of 9 to 24 with an average age of 9 to 17. So the kids that we work with, how are they meeting people? The myth of, because if I see them one more time on TikTok and Instagram, a van, a white van, beware, they're kidnapping people. That's very rare, you all. That doesn't actually happen. What actually happens is this. Your 11-year-old is online, and they're on Roblox, and they're building just a fine life. And then some guy comes along and says some graphic things, and then they give them their Instagram. And then that becomes sending pictures for money and then other things for sex and meeting people up. Walking down the street to go to school when men are pulling over and then they're trying to solicit you. I don't think we understand that that's also trafficking. You don't need a third party. So I think there's different forms. So 52% of our youth at Courtney's house are actually trafficked by their families.
Okay, stop right there. Let's back that up, because my ears perked up when you said that. Explain that to us, please.
Most of my youth, 85%, are African-American, with the remaining percentage of Hispanic. And unfortunately, we've heard this in the Black community growing up. We'll start with that we hear things and things in our family with sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. And we just try to separate them and don't say nothing about it. And then the next step happens when they are bringing other people to them. So we do have people, parents that are on drugs. Mm-hmm. And yes, they are tipping their kids out for drugs. But then they meet a third party. Third party's a pimp. But that pimp still pays mom. So that's one part. And then there are grandparents. I said grandparents. And none of them are on drugs that we have. And they actively know maybe their 11 or 12 or 13-year-old is coming in there with money and paying the grandparents' bills at 13 years old, and they don't question it. So, yes, that's what I'm talking about.
And that happens a lot, because that's my case with when she's talking about family members selling a family member. So I'm familiar trafficking. My mom sold me at the age of 13 for drugs, and the man that bought me kept me for 10 years. Jesus. So he actually took possession of me after the sale of me, which was at 14 years old. And so it happens more often than people think that, oh, that's not happening. But it is happening. Family members are selling family members, like she said, for drugs, to pay the rent, to pay the electricity. And in our community, it happens more often than people thinking, oh, she just ran away. She was just being fast. Or, you know, she went with an aunt. In my case, people thought that I was with family members. And in actuality, I was with a grown man that she had already sold me to.
You said you were with him for 10 years?
Yes, I was held captive for 10 years. During that time, you know, beaten, raped, almost killed. I had three children while I was in captivity, and he took me to three different hospitals to deliver. But before they could notice anything, he would take me up out of there. So I would have the kids. I had them naturally because he told them I couldn't have anything. He spoke for me. He told them my name, my birthday. He actually was speaking for me because I wasn't supposed to speak. So my third child was born 10 days before my 18th birthday. And in that house that I was kept in, it was my neighbor that she noticed what was going on. She seen something, she said something, and she did something.
How did you?
So she not only saved my life that day, she saved three other lives that day.
How did you escape from this?
It was my neighbor. Mm-hmm. She kept being persistent about, was I okay?
Yeah.
What was going on? And I finally spoke up to tell her, hey, I'm here. I don't want to be here. I've been here for this amount of time. And she was like, I can help you. I didn't believe her at first because I had tried to reach out. Because a part of my story is this man took me to church every Wednesday and Sunday. And I tried to tell the church that he had bought me, which he had already confessed his sin. And they told me that I should have been glad somebody bought me.
Lord.
Yeah, the church folks. There's a difference between church folks and God folks.
I would agree with that. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is National Modern Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month. We are taking a deep dive into this important but very difficult subject. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Greg, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Greg. What's on your mind?
Well, good evening, and to your guests, I just want to say, you know, I'm so sorry about what has occurred to you in life, and I admire your strength and tenacity and courage. So I just want to start off by saying that. My question is a legal question. The Constitution has the 13th Amendment, which prohibits slavery. Does that afford any protection to people in terms of, you know, legal, you know, in terms of protecting people when they put in human slavery, like you mentioned earlier?
They do actually, that covers, like when, so in a federal case, so if they are charged federally, they get more time for the act of, you know, enslaving or selling someone for the purposes of money.
Yes, and I would say that myself and four other survivors, we were able to start the first law for the Trafficking in Persons Act. And that's a federal act. It has a reauthorization to it. And so those do have some protections. Yes. But we also have to remember, you know, states can adapt that and add to it or not. So in many states, youth are not arrested under 18. For prostitution anymore, be right. There's no such thing as a child prostitute ever.
That's
because
right.
They can't. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
However, in some states, that law hasn't passed, like in Virginia. So all my intakes in Virginia are juvenile detention because they do still charge for prostitution, even though they know the child is trafficked.
And here in Texas, it's the same thing. So 48% of our girls are charged with prostitution as well. Juveniles are charged with prostitution as well. So that's something that we're actively out here doing as well, as to try to change those laws as well. Because of the girls that I rescue, you know, that from 18 and over, they're charged, and then seeing the minors charged, it needs to stop because they cannot consent. A child cannot consent to being raped or abused or sold. And that needs to go away. And it has not went away. So it's not just in Virginia. It's also in Texas. It's in a lot of states.
Greg, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about modern slavery and human trafficking. What is it? What can be done to address it? If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-
319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is a difficult question for you, Dr. Manning. What happened to your mother?
So we went to court November 27, 1996, and during that court hearing, I was told by the judge, long story short, that he was sorry that the systems failed me. He was sorry that the school system failed me, the hospital system failed me, and he had to fail me that day because the statute of limitation had ran out. Mm-hmm. They went from 13 to 23. I had just turned 23 years old. If I was taken to court maybe 2 days before or even a week before, then she would have got endangering a child. He would have got statutory rape and rape of a child, but that didn't happen. And unfortunately, my mom was found deceased on January 2nd, 2023. So she just passed on a couple of months ago. Yep. Wow. She just passed. They found her deceased. And I'm still in therapy. I've been in therapy to do the work that I do to rescue, restore, and rebuild girls that look like me on a regular basis. But that was a closure. It actually was my final chapter in my book and in my life. Never got I'm sorry or, why she did what she did. Never got any of that because I had to cut ties with her, you know, as I grew.
Yeah. Your story is certainly amazing, and I am, so pleased to have you, on this program to tell this story.
Thank you.
And to show that there is a way out of it, whether it is through the help of someone who decided not to mind their business for the best reason, or for those who have been able to escape on their own, as we hear in this case coming out of Florida. I'm going to take a break, but Angie, calling from Baltimore, we're going to talk to you next. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about human trafficking, modern slavery. Lines are still open. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's coming up on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. January is National Modern Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month, and we're examining this difficult but important topic tonight. My guests are Dr. Tanya Stafford Manning, advocate, survivor, and rescuer of human trafficking survivors. Also, Tina Front, founder and executive director of Courtney's House here in the district. If you have a comment, if you have a question about this issue, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Angie, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Angie. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold. Hi. I would like to say, first of all, good evening, team. Happy New Year's, and thanks for discussing this subject.
Thank you so much. Go right ahead.
It is one that is very dear to me because I, too, have been, and family members, have been human trafficked in the family. And when I reported it as a youngster at school and to people, I didn't get help. You know, I was made to be a liar, like something was mentally wrong with me. Nobody listened. So because nobody listened, it took place for more than 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I could get away is I ran away and went in the military. But then it was difficult to run back to my family because it was a hush-hush thing, me and my siblings having kids by family members at no choice. So I hid it for years, even though it affected my life, and I sheltered my children. The hurtful thing is you cry out, and nobody listens, and now you really feel like something is wrong with you. So, yes, the law needs to address the issue. People need to address the issue. And this that's been swept under the carpet for many years need to come out. I am 65 years old. And this started when I was four. Hmm. And back in the day, nobody got help for mental illness or depression or things. You was told to shut your mouth, you don't tell family business, and you live with it.
Yeah.
But then I realized it was ruining me as an individual. I didn't feel comfortable with relationship with men. I didn't want to get married. I didn't like sex. It really abused me, and I often wonder, what would I be minus that?
Yeah.
Because I didn't have the protection and help, I went from abusive situation growing up all my life into an abusive marriage. Mm. Wow. All I wanted was protection.
Yeah. Angie,
but you know what? I'm going to tell you, honestly,
Angie, I appreciate you sharing your difficult experience, and I'm glad that you have a voice now to speak out on it. And thank you for participating in this conversation. I do want to ask Ms. Front a question, because what we have been hearing for so long, you may remember probably about 5 years ago when there were all of these discussions about, and you touched on this earlier, about girls being snatched off the street, and that the Metropolitan Police were not doing anything about human trafficking. And we know that in D.C., not only on the local level, but on the federal level, there are human trafficking task forces. Even right next door in Prince George's County, there's a human trafficking task force. I started this conversation about the human task force in Miami-Dade that came here to make an arrest. They are everywhere. But my question to you is this about girls, or even boys for that matter, being snatched off the street and sold into, you know, prostitution? You know, how is this done?
Right. So, you know, I was part of that conversation 5 years ago.
Right.
And 98% involved the youth are still in my program. So we never said snatched up. And I think that's kind of what the media said, because they saw so many youth. The reason why you saw so many youth missing is because of law change that D.C. and Maryland, specifically D.C., had to post missing youth on their Instagram and Twitter and on the news. And we helped change that law. So to everyone else, it was like, oh, my God. When unfortunately to us, we knew it was a problem. The boys and girls. We work with both. And both are trafficked. So if you go look at the missing posters, the problem with trafficking, right, is that it helps build cases. So we cannot say that youth right there is being trafficked and we're working with them. That's, you can't say it. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, now if you go on DCTG missing, I can guarantee you 98% of those youth are in my program. I can guarantee that. But people are not, you cannot say that. So how do people get in situations? You can be trafficked and go to school every day. So I really want to stop these misconceptions that everybody is like in this closed closet and they don't go anywhere, because they're, you know, that's not true. So I was nine inside of foster care when my trafficking situation started, and it was foster parents. Mm-hmm. And I went to school and it was people around me. And so our youth do go to school. That's one. Again, the number one place is online. You also have other friends, your friends who are 13, 14, 15, maybe in your neighborhood, your cousin can also is most likely involved. So maybe they're involved in their life and they take you with them. And so you can either have a pimp or the man who's buying sex from you repeatedly, right? It's a trick. So that's illegal. He's buying sex. So that's also trafficking. So trafficking actually happens those ways. Not everybody gets out the first time. I didn't. And so what it becomes is then you meet a pimp if you come from family control, because each one looks different. Mm-hmm. Or you meet a gang member and you get involved in something. So not, it's a process of getting out. I tell the kids all the time, it took me almost 20 years to get out the life. It's a mind. It's a process of getting out the life. Shout out to all my family members, the survivors listening. Our kids are listening right now. So shout out to you all. Mm.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Warren calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. Warren, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's my pleasure to be able to call. I am right now engaging with a group of citizens here in Raleigh where we are trying to correct a lot of the problems such as this human trafficking. And what we're finding out is that we're in a lawless society. And we as a people, black people, need to detach ourselves from this system and create the one that we know we are responsible for creating. We have to go neighborhood by neighborhood, house by house, person by house person to correct this situation. If we don't take charge of it, there's no one that is going to take charge of it. And we have to do it. I give credit for this to this young lady and these persons who are stepping forward for the courage to do so. But those of us in the community, I mean, we just celebrated a holiday, and the holiday that we celebrated was not really a holiday or a day in history that we should have celebrated. And I say that because the true recognition given to all of those in our history who were striving to do things right, to disconnect our people from the system that we're locked into, those people should gain more recognition.
Well, Warren, hold on, because I let you speak because I'm trying to get a better understanding of what it is that you're saying. But I would like to have Dr. Manning speak to what you're suggesting, because from what both of my guests are explaining, particularly when we're talking about human trafficking that happens within the parameters of a family, that ain't the system. That's your family committing a criminal act against you. That has nothing whatsoever to do with the system. And to that point, with the exception of those wonderful nosy neighbors that helped Dr. Manning escape, Dr. Manning, the realities of going house to house when you don't really know whether or not somebody's being trafficked or not, that's a slippery slope. Dr. Manning.
It is a slippery slope. But, you know, like the other guest said, there's signs. There's signs all over. But like you said, it's not the system. It's our community. It's our neighborhood. It's us. It's us. It's us that turns a blind eye to the things that's going on around us, because it could be the house next door to you. So that's what I even teach the girls that I take care of, because it's going to be okay. I founded my own organization called It's Going to Be Okay. And It's Going to Be Okay provide all of those direct services in the community to those girls, trauma-informed and trauma-centered. We get them trauma-informed therapy. That's something that we don't even look at. So when I was rescued, the first thing they did was put me in therapy. And therapy has been a way of life for me. So I'm far and few between, because I accepted the help and I took the help and I thrived because of, there was people that looked like me that I didn't see that was helping others. It was a black woman that helped me as well. But when I got into the first home, it was a black woman. I'd never seen that before. But it was a black woman that was running that program. And I modeled my program after her, is meet them where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called New Tomorrows. And she told me when I stepped through the door, today is your new tomorrow. Today was what it was, but tomorrow will be a new day and it'll be a new tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so I took that and I held on to that. And that's what I teach each girl that walks through there with their children, is that tomorrow is a new day. See, your yesterday was your yesterday. So I meet them where they are. And in our community, a lot of us don't meet people where they are. It's to get to where we are.
Yeah. Warren, thank you.
We gotta help each other.
Okay.
Warren, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your phone call. Dr. Manning, you mentioned two terms. You said trauma-informed and what was the other one?
Trauma-centered.
So our program is trauma-informed and trauma-centered. Okay. What is trauma-informed and what is trauma-centered?
So trauma-informed is the trauma that they've experienced, the past trauma and the post-trauma. So we actually take a look at that, what is causing, you know, the problems that what happened to them. So we don't ask, why are you doing that? You know, we don't say, why you keep doing that? Why don't you stop?
Mm-hmm.
We ask, what happened to you? They just want you to ask them what happened to you. So in being trauma-centered, that means we center ourselves around their trauma. Every individual is different. So the program is designed for each individual. So when we are trauma-centered, we are centered on that particular trauma of that person because they're coming from all walks of life.
Yeah.
And so we have to be trauma-informed and trauma-centered in order to help them to thrive. I just had 9 to graduate the program. Our program is 2 years. So we don't say 1 year. We don't say 6 months. We are 2 years. And if they need to stay longer, one of my girls walked through the door and she said, so I don't have to leave in 2 years? And I said, no, you don't have to leave in 2 years. You can stay as long as you need to stay.
Mm-hmm.
You and your baby can stay. And so it's meeting them where they are. So my girls are, you know, we make sure they got living wageable jobs. They graduate. We are having our gala on Saturday. So they were required to save at least $16,000 to $20,000. They save at least $16,000 to $20,000 before they graduate. And they're all on their own right now. So that's something I pride in, is because that's something that was done for me. Mm-hmm. I learned about my credit. I learned how to fix credit. And this is because the women taught me.
Yeah.
And so that's what we do to them as well.
You're teaching them how to be a productive citizen and an adult and all of those other kinds of things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Life skills, exactly. How to clean, how to cook, how to do, you know, take care of themselves and their children.
Ms. Font, let me ask you this, because I think one of the other reports that we've seen over the years, outside of just the human trafficking, but the modern slavery piece, is that you have so many immigrants, and I would imagine that this migrant issue that has been in the headlines for the past several months, you have people coming into this country looking for the American dream, escaping the political persecution and the like, but they are, and correct me if I'm wrong, they are the ones who are most susceptible to, you know, modern slavery, working without pay. Talk to me about that.
So I want to talk about that. I'm so happy that you brought that up. So in the D.C. area, including Baltimore, so D.C., Maryland, Virginia, Baltimore, entire, there are about 72 organizations that work on some type of trafficking inside or outside the state. So a lot of them work with the immigrant population for sex trafficking and labor. There are only, I'm the only African-American one that works with U.S., and then there's one other agency that also works with U.S. citizens. I think that kind of says a lot where people's focuses are, right? Because that is a population, and we do need help. But that same amount of what we see literally happens to Black and brown children on the street. So all of our youth who are Hispanic are either, they're not over the age of 15, and they are attached to MS-13 and 18th Street Los Locos.
Yep.
So we get calls. I am a long-term service at Courtney's house, so we don't have an exit. We're not housing. We are a long-term drop-in center that provides long-term counseling services and a home, like a family. And I think that's important. Because especially with, unfortunately, the MS-13 population. So let me just tell you, we have a hotline, and a parent just called. And, you know, she has a missing persons in Silver Spring. This case was also on the news, and they're actively looking for her. And so he called us to help with some information and that she can have services. So we're able to work with the police. We've never met her, but we found tons of information online and we're able to help. So those are some of the different ways. Yes,
that population is important. But what's happening on the ground is, quickly, I want to say that one of our boys, because we're not talking about boys, we have the same amount of boys as girls, which we have 72 active youth, by the way. And so one of our boys just texted me, you all, so family on the radio, I like to read what he said. He's 13 years old.
Sure, go ahead.
He said, Ms. Tina, can you tell them that older males come up to us, males and females, all the time on the street, and then Instagram and ask us for pictures, intimidate us, tell us to get in the car, and it happens about 10 times a week.
This is the those first steps into grooming that Ms. Funt has been discussing. Is that correct?
It's grooming and actually already in the life. You see how easy it is? We asking how easy it is for you to get involved, do you see? And do you see the intimidation that someone would have as a child with your school uniform on? So you're like, all right, I'll just get in the car and do it. And now it's brought you to a whole different world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me go back to the phone.
It happens just like that.
Let me go back to the phone lines. Eleanor calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, I'm aware of Tina's great work and Courtney's House amazing agency. But why isn't law enforcement spending more time focusing on the sex buyers? Because they fuel this market, and it seems like in D.C., they get off.
Anybody want to jump in and try to answer Eleanor's question?
Thank you, Eleanor. I think that's an excellent question because that's exactly what I'm saying. So here in D.C., you all may not be aware, but there's only two in the country. So we have a sex trafficking unit inside of the police department under the youth division. That usually never happens with a youth division sex trafficking unit. That's also funded by the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the issue that I've been bringing up forever is we're not asking enough and we're not doing enough. When I do interviews with you all, they're not asking about the buyers. That's why we come in and we push that about the men and buyers. There aren't that many cases on it. These cases are actually easier because the youth want to give you all the information on them. It's much easier than getting the parent or the pimp. That buyer will also connect a parent or a trafficker, right, of them. So, yeah, super important, and we're trying to pass laws right now for it.
Eleanor, thank you so much for your phone call. 202
inside three, our
go ahead.
As well, and not enough is being done.
Yeah. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Question for both of you, and I'll start with Dr. Manning. What can well-meaning, law-abiding, loving parents do to make sure that their children are not trafficked? I don't want to, you know, do any, you know, victim blaming here, but we know that the best of parents, you know, you can't helicopter your children forever, and you want to watch what they do online. You want to watch, and even your adult children. But what advice do you have for them? What kind of conversations can you have or should you have with your children? What should you look for? You know, even if you live in a good community, provide a stable home, you know, and you're in good schools and all of that. But I have the impression that this can happen to any young person.
It can happen to anybody. And as a parent and as a grandparent, what I would say is watch your children, talk to your children. Like she said, know who your children are communicating with, know who your children are around. If your child is coming home with money, you know you didn't give it to them, and they are also sharing it with you, then that's a problem. Get on these apps that they're on. Make sure that you're checking their phones, and I'm sure she can speak to this as well. Watch your children. Know who they're communicating with. Know who they are on these apps with, on these games with. It's not just Instagram. It's OnlyFans.
We had one young lady that was trafficked through an app that she met somebody on. Discord. There's an app called Discord. Watch what your children are downloading. Have an open conversation. Have the conversation. Have the hard conversation. Not just good touch, bad touch. Have all of the conversations about what's going on in school, what their friends, who they're hanging around. I'm the grandmother that go to the parties with the 13-year-old.
Hmm.
I'll be sitting in the party. and my granddaughter's friend said, your granny go everywhere with you. It's because I'm going to see what's going on. I'm going to know what's going on. So this is what we need to do, is watch our children. Have a conversation.
And I just want to give a couple of tips, because how youth come to us in trafficking situations, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you get mad at your kids. They coming in. They running in and out.
They not coming home on time. So you lock them out so they can feel what that feels like for a night or two. You're not going to let them back in the house. Mm. So where do you think they going to go? Where? That's perfect. Because guess what? Somebody else going to let them in the house. They're fine. They say, come on in. Our youth meet people when they run away and leave home within 2 hours of leaving the home down the street from the house. We have 11 and 12-year-olds where parents put them out the house because they're mad. And where do you think they're going to go? So, number one, don't do that. That's illegal. So, please, like legally, you cannot kick your child out. So, please stop that one. The next would be when your child gives you the Instagram and the password. Now you go find the other one that they want, because all of them have other Instagrams and TikToks, I can promise you. Because I find them, so I know.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to parents, and I can tell you lots of them give hotline calls. Out of 10 hotline calls in a week, maybe one or two has the information of the Instagram. And they 11 and 12 and 13 coming to me, and they don't have it. They don't have a password. They don't know other sites that they've been on. As we have to educate ourselves. You can't keep telling me, I'm too old for that. I don't do that. Let me tell you something. I was a stalker over my kids. You hear me? I'm stalking you. Yes, that's what's going to happen. And so it's really important, though, you all, that you all do that, that you do take the time to educate yourself on the app so you can educate. And don't say trafficking to your kids, please. It's because they're not going to listen to you, and those aren't the words that people lead to on the street. So say when people trying to give you money on IG, when they ask you for your Cash App, start the conversation that way.
Yeah. And stop putting your kids out at 18. They don't know nothing.
Right.
They don't know nothing. Stop putting these kids out at 18.
Yeah, and I agree with that. As they say, today's kids are built differently.
Mm-hmm.
But the world that they live in is a very, very different world. As you mentioned, you will see. I don't have any friends on social media who are children, but I do see and have seen in all of these social media platforms, very young women, and you have, particularly in TikTok, and men too, Cash Apps, and when they do your TikTok lives, and I've watched as they, sit there in a TikTok live and revealing or seductive outfits that are just on this side of getting themselves knocked off of the social media platform. And men are sending them money. And it seems that is the first step to something that could end up, problematic. And let me say, Ms. Front, I know as we were discussing earlier, the whole kidnapping thing and the myth of being, taken off the streets, from the white van or what have you. But we also know that those things do happen.
They do.
But not necessarily for trafficking, but for assault.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not downplay the seriousness of that.
Uh-huh, exactly. I had a young lady that was, she had, like she was explaining, the young lady got mad at her mom, and this was really a high-profile case here in Texas, and I actually was part of that rescue, and she walked across the street, and they snatched her, and they had her for 2 weeks. They were moving her around. And the reason why we couldn't find her was because they had already changed her hair color. This really happened. They had changed her hair color. They had changed her appearance. And she was just 15 years old. So that really does happen, that they are snatched. And they took her to her house. She was found in another little county here in Dallas. And she actually was, not too far away from where she was taken. And she told them that she couldn't even remember how many men they brought in house.
So I was kidnapped as well. And so most of you are kidnapped. And let me explain what this means. If 11, 12, 13, 14, 16 gets into a car that their parent, guardian, foster care didn't say they can get into, legally that's a kidnapping. But you're not going to see them, unfortunately. And that case would be a kidnapping case, and they do charge them with that on trafficking. Mm-hmm. But on the news, you're not going to hear that. You're going to hear from
black people. They ran away.
They ran away.
Mm-hmm. And that's something we're trying to stop here, too. It's always classifying our girls and our boys and the youth as runaways instead of actually looking for them when a caring parent reports them as, missing.
Let me say that real quick because I'm really low on time. One of the things, and this has to do with law enforcement, that often, and this happened years ago and it still happens today, we will have a police report to us that a child is missing. And as soon as that child is found, because of privacy rules or practices, they clam up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we can only report based on what authorities tell us or what parents may tell us, which is very, very rare once a parent has recovered their child. And that is still yet another issue that needs to be addressed. I could talk about this to both of you for yet another hour. It is important. It is difficult. Parents need to pay attention. But I want to thank both Dr. Tanya Stafford Manning and Tina Front for talking to us. Please continue the great work that you're doing.
We'll do, and visit us at our website, www.igtbok.org.
I'll make sure that your contacts are posted on our website, whur.com, after 8:30 tonight. So thank you again.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum for Tuesday, January 17th, 2023. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.